All right. Good afternoon, everybody. We're going to go ahead and kick this off. Stay on schedule. My name is Ken Herbert. I'm the Aerospace and Defense Analyst with Canaccord Genuity. Thank you very much for everybody coming in today and making this conference such a wonderful success. We're very pleased here today to have management of SMTC. SMTX is the ticker. We've got Eddie Smith, President and CEO, who's going to give a short presentation here today. Then we're going to open it up to Q&A and have a bit of a fireside chat. And we also have Steve Wozniak, the CFO and VP for M&A with us as well. So with that, I'll hand it over to Eddie.
Thanks. Appreciate that. How's everybody this morning? You hear a lot of presentations, so I'll just go through a couple slides. Before I do that, we announced our earnings yesterday, and so we announced that our sales were up 40-some% year-on-year. Quarter-on-quarter was 19.8%. Our EBITDA went up 60% quarter-on-quarter, and year-on-year was actually over 500% year-on-year. So we've also guided out for Q3, Q4, because we're in the middle of a rights offering, and we gave that guidance for Q3, Q4. We'll see another quarter jump over 20%. So this quarter was about 20. Next quarter will be a little bit more than 20. Our profitability will go up another 30-40%. Plus for Q3, Q4, we'll also see some growth. So those numbers are out in the public market space, so I'm not telling you anything that you shouldn't have, and you can have those numbers and look that up. A year ago, I joined SMTC permanently, so I'll give you some history of why we're here, who we are, and why I think this might be a good investment for you. So I'm sure you've seen enough of the forward-looking statement stuff, so I went through that pretty quickly. We're a global mid-sized provider of end-to-end services. EMS stands for Electronic Manufacturing Services. So we build products for other customers. Customers design them. We build them. Sometimes we build a PCBA. Sometimes we build their total product. One of the funnest products we make, I won't call it the best product we make. Have you ever been to a Chili's restaurant? I know you. It's not the best food, but the technology, you ever play the little games on a little thing and pay in that? We actually make 100% of those products. Why we build those is really not for the games and all of that. It's actually the payment system, which is the complication or actually the key to all of that. We build payment systems for multiple people, and we're probably one of the leading providers of payment systems. And if you think about payment systems, about the security, the algorithms, all of that, it's actually a phenomenal market that will continue to change. Security will continue to get tighter and tighter on them. Different ways to pay. Nowadays, you can pick your phone up. You can touch things and pay. So you don't need just a card. And as that develops, we actually build those type of products. So a year ago when I came on, the company was in trouble, had taken a big loss. Sales were plummeting. Finished the year at about $135 million in sales. This year, based on our forward guidance, we'll finish about $185 million, so almost a 50% jump in sales. Profitability last year wound up negative EBITDA. This year, we'll make, if you take, once again, forward guidance, we'll make about $7.5 million of EBITDA. We'll turn positive in net income next quarter, and we'll ride that out. We'll continue to do that. We did do a rights offering. A lot of people ask me why we do a rights offering, because when you look at our cash flow, your immediate reaction would be, hey, they can grow pretty significantly without raising more money. Why did we do that? We did that because we believe we're going to continue to expand at a pretty quick pace. We're going to either have to build some new facilities, expand the ones that we have, or go out and do some M&A and buy somebody potentially that has some capacity we can use, fill up, and make them more profitable. I put together a leadership team that I think would be second to none in the industry. My history, I worked 10 years at Avnet. If you haven't heard of Avnet, they sell 40-some percent of the electronic components in the U.S., and I was responsible for that. I was the president of Avnet. I took the global operations leader from Avnet and my head of supply chain. We all joined together. Steve was a customer of ours, so our CFO, he knows being on the other side of the business. We've all run big businesses. We've all run small businesses. We did this once before, in the year 2000, 2001. You remember 2000, 2001? Probably the worst time to own and be a CEO of a stock. Market was crashing, the dot-com bubble, and I was in the electronics manufacturer. I had left Avnet for a period of time. I walk in, stock was 38 cents. They announced me. It was a lot of fun getting announced. You're in the Wall Street Journal. I thought, oh, man, this is the pinnacle of my career. A day later, NASDAQ sent me the delisting letter. Right? Now you get all of a sudden other newspaper articles. So I'll never forget, this is one of the funnier stories of my life. I walked in a country club on a Saturday, and they were like, congratulations, man, you're CEO. That's awesome. And then the next Saturday, you suck. You've already ruined the company in 1 week. We did keep our listing, and the stock in 18 months went from 38 cents to $15. And when it hit $15, there were some pretty significant shareholders that said, hey, we've held this stock for a long time. The highest it's ever been is 6. You're now at 15. We're out. And so we sold the company to a company called CTS, which then subsequently sold it to Benchmark. And so, interesting enough. So when I announced that sale, Avnet called me and said, we need a president. So I went back to Avnet and ran Avnet for quite a few years. I retired, and then these guys called. So, you know, things have been good. We put a team back together. As they joke around, we put the band back together, and now we're starting to see the efforts of that with good growth. Our guy who runs operations, Rich, industry quality recognition, when you see some of those awards, Rich came out of Intel before I hired him at Avnet, so he understands quality is number one. And I would say quality is an interesting word because people say, hey, quality should just be built in your product. When I talk about quality, I talk about building hundreds of thousands of things with zero defect, not with one defect, but zero defect, beyond quality that most people would ever even experience. And then last, we do, so our plants used to build TVs, our Mexico plant used to build TVs for Zenith. It was a Zenith plant. We bought it, took all the employees, so we built metal, we built wires, anything that you build a TV, LCD screens, we build it right in that particular plant. We can build a product from end to end with going nowhere else and having a third party do work for us. This is our long-term goal. We're way ahead of. We put this together when I first came. We said we'd achieve in 2 years $200 million plus growth and target. So we're now 1 year into it. We did $45 million last quarter. We'll do $50 million plus next quarter and continue to grow beyond that. So we're already on a $200 million run rate 15 months into it. So our board members were very funny. We had a board meeting this week as we announced our numbers. And he said, you must have sandbagged this $200 million number. You need to change it. And my answer is, if I told you a year ago when I walked in that I'd do $200 million, you would have said, you're out of your mind. And they said, oh, yeah, probably. And my answer is, that's what I love about boards. You can look back a year and go, you were out of your mind then or you're out of your mind now. Either one of those. I expect that we'll continue to grow. A lot of people will continue to ask about tariffs, what's going on with the tariffs, what's going on with the Trump tariffs. And my answer is, every day we spend time on this tariff thing. It is insane. So when we get to the Q&A, I'll answer any questions on the tariffs. We have a deep understanding of it. I actually spent a lot of time on it. For us, I think it's upside opportunity. And you might say, why? And that's because we have a plant in Mexico. We have a plant in Nanguan, China. We have a plant in Fremont. We, believe it or not, can move our supply chain into Mexico and avoid the tariff completely. Most EMS guys that are our size can't do that or don't have the capability of doing it. So we then said we'd increase our business for our existing customers. And then as you continue down those bullet points, we said we'd drive value via M&A, expand lines of business, increase our TAM. One of the things somebody asked me earlier today, so I'll answer the question before, is if we do M&A, we will not do M&A unless it's accretive. I've done 45 deals with Avnet. I've never done a deal that wasn't accretive. I would never look at a deal and say, hey, this is dilutive, but we'll do it anyway because it's strategic to us long term. That type of thinking gets companies in all kinds of trouble because it doesn't normally get better 5 years later. It normally gets worse 5 years later, not better, because you lose track in a big company of that. For us, we need to be accretive because of our financial structure, right? Through that hurt that happened last year, our balance sheet needs to be re-energized, and we're doing that through the rights offering. But clearly, we need an accretive M&A. So I give you that as that's been a topic of much conversation with, well, what would you buy and how would you buy it? And my answer is, if it's not accretive to our financials, we wouldn't do it. To me, this is very personal. Any business I've ever run, if you're not the best financially, then why do it? I mean, if your goal is not to be the best financially. So when I look at this, in Q1 of this year, we already moved our gross margin up quite a bit. Our revenue obviously moving up quite a bit. Our EBITDA went positive in Q1. Our EBITDA this quarter, when you look at $1.6 million on $45 million worth of sales, you're actually looking like we'd be the number two or number three guy. By the end of the year, based on our forward guidance, we'll be number one and number two in every financial metric, and growth percentage will be number one. I expect next year for trailing 12 for us to be the number one person. But, you know, when you say how do you go from 38 cents to $15? My answer is because we got a premium for being the number one or the best performing financial guy. You get a much higher premium when they don't have to come in and fix your business when you go to sell out. The leadership team I spent some time with, you can kind of, we passed out these, you can kind of look. You know, I try to be humble about it, but the reality is every one of these gentlemen had successful careers. And we're all at the, I wouldn't call it the end of our career, but the later stage of our career. And what we said was, and why we all came to a small company, because it was a big conversation about it, you know, would you guys stay 5 years? The answer is, we're having a blast. Very few times in your career can you go from big companies to a small company and make a difference every day and have fun with people you actually like to spend time with. My wife would complain that Steve calls too often, too early. Steve called me a Saturday morning, 6 o'clock, says, I have an idea. And I was not smart enough not to pick up the phone, so I stepped out of the bedroom. And so when Steve came by my house a week ago, my wife said, I need to talk to you. Please do not call on Saturday morning at 6 o'clock anymore. Wait till 8 o'clock. And so we actually enjoy each other and like to spend time together. So far, the impact has been minimal. If you ask from my perspective, some board members actually think it's been better than minimal. We've gone from about $1.10 when I started. We surpassed $3.15 when we announced the rights offering. Obviously, that drove it back because people are trying to figure out what are we going to use the money for, how are we going to spend the money. And I think so we'll have a little bit of an overhang here for a month. We close the rights offering the end of the month, end of September, and pretty quickly we'll put that money to the use. Global footprint. So a lot of people ask me about us being headquartered in Toronto, Canada. The company was started in Toronto, Canada. You know what SMTC stands for? Surface Mount Training Center. It was an IBM training center to build motherboards. And then they started building for Dell, and they started building for others. We're officially headquartered in Toronto. I show up in Toronto probably once every 3 months to close the books. We have the finance guys there, engineering, but everybody else is now in one of the other facilities. Here's what we build. Some of the stuff's pretty cool stuff. We build semiconductor equipment. Our biggest customer is a semiconductor equipment manufacturer. You probably know many of these customers. They're in our 10K. So companies like ASML, Gilbarco, which is also have Fluke, Tektronix. And then you look at companies like Teledyne. Our customer base is really phenomenal for a company our size. What we needed to do is become a good provider for them. And as soon as we did, we started growing. That's how we got our 40% growth. You'll see next year, if I'm here at the same conference, you'll see aerospace and defense up there. By the end of this quarter, we'll be approved to do aerospace and defense. We'll have our AS9100. We're working with the FAA. We actually have worked out a waiver where we can do FAA business for a period of time while they're working through their paperwork that we have to do. So you'll see us start putting military defense and aerospace business up here. And you may say, why do I make that point? Because the margin on that is about 10 points higher than the margin in the industrial space. So that's a big focus for us. I won't bore you with this. This is probably important for you to know. Long-term target model, 20% growth. We think that's very sustainable. Our gross margin, 12%-14%. Anybody know why 12%-14% is important? That'd put us about 20% better than the next person in our marketplace. So we want to be better than everybody else. And our adjusted EBITDA, 6%-10%. I won't bore you with the income statement. You can look that up. Balance sheet, you can look that up. Oh. I moved too quickly because the finance guy's behind me, so he's yelling shit out that I have to. Our cash-to-cash conversion is right now right at 60 days. We'll have it into the mid-50s. When you look at our competitors, they're in the high 70s, low 80s. To us, managing our money efficiently is very important. But to be in the 60s and 50s, why would that be so important to us? We believe we can continue to grow with very little capital as long as we keep it in the high 50s, low 60s, additional capital. And then this is why you might want to be with us. We have no customer detriment or reliance. Our biggest customer is 10% of our business. So we have very little risk on the customer side of our business. We have a great footprint. If this tariff thing continues, I actually expect we'll see upside in our Mexico plant. We'll see upside in Fremont from the tariff thing. So we'll actually see a positive from the tariff, not a negative. Free cash flow generation. And as we deleverage, that'll get better and better. End markets, all very strong end markets right now. I passed that slide. I didn't want to bore you with the end markets, but all our end markets are humming right now, and I continue that to be long term. And then we'll continue to accelerate our year-over-year growth through the end of the year, at least. So that kind of is the overall story pretty quickly. I told Ken that I'll take questions. We kind of didn't want to keep you here just hearing me diatribe all day.
Any questions from the audience? Obviously, two parts to this. First, are you taking share? Is it really just an opportunity where your customers are looking to outsource more as that market expands, or are you having to take share? And then second, at what point do you start to maybe get some natural constraints with your capacity and your ability to support growth with the footprint, and how do you think about that?
Sure. So we are taking share. We're taking share two different ways. We're moving and landing new customers that were at some of our competitors, so we're taking that share. And then we're taking share of our existing customers and how much they have to spend. So you'll take a Gilbarco. We used to do about 50% of the business. Now we're in the mid-60s. We'll continue to take shares within our existing customers and add new customers. A year ago, I announced 4 new customers in one of our conference calls. Yesterday, I announced another 2 new customers. We'll continue to add new customers, new logos. Taking them away from our competitors. And some of them are in spaces that are pretty cool. This whole biotech DNA space and, you know, figuring out what's wrong with you, we're going to get into that space in the medical space. I think that's pretty exciting and will continue to grow pretty significantly. So we're taking share two different ways.
Another capacity front.
On the capacity, that's a little bit of a different question. In our Don Juan and our Fremont facilities, we have plenty of capacity. We could grow and almost double our sales in each one of them. In our Chihuahua facility, we are actually starting to hit the limit of capacity. And we'll either have to go lease another Mexican facility and add some equipment, or we'll have to add equipment and rearrange. But clearly, we have to do something in Chihuahua sometime late next year, 2019. So capacity there, we'll make some more investment. We just made about a $4 million investment in Chihuahua, so we have some time. Before we use up that capacity, but clearly we're going to have to spend some money there. Oh, let's go there.
Can you give us a specific example of some new wins that you had from customers, from competitors, on why they left the competitor and went to you?
Sure. We built an oxygen concentrator. A year ago, we didn't build an oxygen concentrator. You probably have heard about the supply chain. You probably have read from a lot of public companies, the supply chain is really constrained. I think we don't say that in our earnings. It's actually been an upside. So this particular customer wasn't a customer, but because of our history, we knew who they were. We had built for them when they were at a different company. And they needed parts. This may be a funny story, maybe not such a funny story if you're them. But at 3 in the morning, I got a call, and they said, hey, we're lying down from both of our EMS providers. We had two, and both of them are lying down. We need these parts. Is there anything you can do to help us? And I called Germany, where the company's headquartered that needed the parts. And interestingly enough, you know, I had quite a history with them. So by 5 in the morning, we had half of them from Germany and half from ON Semiconductor, got them up and running, and obviously they moved over. Thing. So winning new customers, I think our supply chain robustness has been able to win customers. The other interesting thing is the history. Myself, Rich, Bob Miller, who runs sales, is you got to remember in distribution, you see the whole marketplace. We have relationships across 28,000 customers. Most EMS providers have a relationship in a very small niche. So us going back to people we already have relationships has accelerated the sales cycle, and I think that will continue. You know, one of the questions you asked, a good question the board asked me, I know you're personally involved in these things. You know, at what point do we become too big that you're not personally involved? And my answer is never. I ran a $6 billion division at Avnet. I was on the road every day. I just passed I'll tell you a funny story. You know, Starwood and Marriott are combining their programs. So when you combine my nights in those two programs, on my little app over here, it said that I had stayed almost 2,100 nights. And if you figure out the years, that's 5 years in a hotel. And my wife, I just got remarried. My first wife had passed away, and I just got remarried. And I was like, 5 years? Holy shit, and I'm trying to look up online. Hey, like, what benefit do I get? Like, when I get there, you know, they put me in a penthouse suite. I'm thinking, and my wife's like, you're a jackass. You know you've been away from home for 5 years? Like, you know, it's a perspective thing. For me, I'm like, hey, do I get free food? What do I get when I walk in a hotel? So I expect the management team. We have on our phones, Steve has it, I have it. Every executive has it. We keep our NPS, our Net Promoter Score. We keep our on-time delivery, our quality. Every minute of the day, I can look at that. And I can see where we have problems. And I can actually call the customer before they call me or go see them. And you won't believe when you show up at a customer the next morning and they go, I didn't even know I had a problem. And you go, well, let me tell you how we're going to fix it before they know the powerful impact that has for the customer.
Maybe one more quick question.
Yeah, maybe about the financials. You want to talk about the guidance that you just gave and what does that affect visibility for the year, where you come from specifically?
LeBron, you must have been out of the room. I said that right from the beginning. We're going to grow next quarter once again. Another double-digit quarter. Year-on-year, it'll be in the 40% range. Quarter-on-quarter, it'll be in the 20% range. And in Q4, we'll continue. You can look up the guidance. We put out a press release with it. I thought it was only right in a rights offering. I can tell you I took a lot of heat. In a rights offering to give all shareholders an equal amount of information. And so I put that guidance out. I don't expect to continue to put guidance out like that, but I thought it was, if you're going to go raise money, you should tell everybody everything you know. Any other questions? Well, hopefully you invest with us. Thank you for your time. Appreciate it.